WBAI New York at 99.5 FM and WBAI.org. A little bit more from the Duke Ellington.
Good morning. We are so excited to have with us another great guest, Lindsay Bayerstein. Lindsay is the lead writer at the Sydney Hillman Foundation. She writes their blog, Clear It With Sydney, and runs the monthly Sydney Awards program. Lindsay is also an investigative journalist whose work has appeared in Al Jazeera America, The New Republic, Slate, Salon, The New York Observer, Newsweek, and other publications. And she's the co-host of Point of Inquiry, the flagship radio show and podcast of the Center for Inquiry. So, Lindsay, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for joining us. So can you tell us, before we're actually going to listen to some clips from the journalism that you honored the other day, but can you just give us some background about who Sydney Hillman was, what the Sydney Hillman Foundation does, and what the award ceremony was honoring the other day?
Sure. Sydney Hillman was one of the greatest labor leaders of the 20th century. He was one of the founders of the Amalgamated Clothing Workers Union, and he was a labor leader who believed that what it really meant to organize working people was to not only have wages, hours, and conditions, but an entire system of vibrant culture and connection outside the shop floor. So he was a big believer in social housing, of medical clinics, and he was also a big believer in the vibrant possibility of a free press within a democratic society to bring about a good and just society where working people would have their say. And about a little over 65 years ago when he died, the Friends of Sydney Hillman created the Sydney Hillman Foundation as a living memorial to him and his legacy. And one of the most important functions of the Sydney Hillman Foundation is the Hillman Prizes, which are annual journalism awards in several categories in media. And we just had our 65th annual Hillman Prize ceremony at the Times Center on Tuesday night, where we honored some amazing journalism and also inaugurated a new award called the George Barrett Award for Public Service, which we awarded to Brian Stevenson of the Equal Justice Initiative for his work on all kinds of legal representation for people predominantly in the Deep South. He's gotten people off death row. He's fought for all kinds of civil rights issues, and he's the author of a best-selling memoir called Just Mercy that tells stories of his fight over all these years as a lawyer for some of the most dispossessed and disadvantaged people in the South. So that was a very exciting moment from Tuesday's ceremony as well.
Right, and we actually, can you set up one of the, I thought, most kind of outrageous stories and well done journalism examples was the story that was out of Tennessee about civil forfeiture. Can you set that up? Because we actually have a clip from the report that they did.
Sure. The winners were from News Channel 5 and the head of their team, journalist by the name of Phil Williams. And they discovered that there was this very lucrative stretch of Interstate Highway 40 near Nashville, where police officers from different local agencies, from various drug interdiction task forces and other agencies, would hang out by the side of the road and stop people. And they claimed that it was a war on drugs thing, but what they realized when they actually counted what was happening with the stops, they were claiming that, you know, they wanted to stop the drug trade of presumably drugs coming into Nashville from points outside, but the reporters noticed that, wait a minute, they're not stopping the drugs going into the city. They're 10 times as likely to stop in the outbound lanes, people leaving with money. So even if they were interested in the war on drugs, you would think they would want to stop the drugs before it got to the city to stop the drugs, right? But no, they're in the money lanes. And the reason they're in the money lanes, the outbound lanes, is because through a thing called civil forfeiture in Tennessee and in most other U.S. states, actually, if police even suspect that your money, your cash, is linked to drugs somehow or some other kind of crime, they can just seize the money. And you have to go back to court and prove that it's yours and prove that it's not tainted by drugs. And if you don't do that, then the police get to keep the money. And it's not like, oh, the money goes into general revenue like taxes. The actual agency that seizes the actual money gets to keep that money to pay its employees. So right. The police know that they have to seize more money. So they're even told that if they don't seize enough money, they could lose their jobs. Mm. So there's this incredible perverse incentive for them to be out fishing in the money lanes all the time, to the point where the agency that quote-unquote owns that stretch of road rents it out to other cop shops in the area. They have kickbacks. So you give, you know, a third of whatever you seize back to the agency that owns this very lucrative stretch of road for the privilege of using it.
Wow.
And the thing is, they have no idea who has drugs, who has money for whatever reason. And people, it's perfectly legal to carry 10,000, 50,000, however much U.S. currency you want. It's not against the law at all.
And it also tends to be
a lot.
Sorry, go on.
And a lot of people who they're catching are people who are, for instance, using it to buy businesses or to buy cars or to, you know, do all kinds of legitimate things.
And they take
things.
That money. And they don't give that money. They don't get that money back.
Well, they can sometimes if they can convince the police officers that it's legitimately theirs.
Okay. Right.
But it's a lot. They tend to like to target out-of-state drivers and people who. So there's the expense of going back to Tennessee at some point and hiring a lawyer and convincing a judge, and a lot of people just don't have the wherewithal, or they think, oh, it costs more to keep to fight for my money than to let it go.
Yeah, yeah, that $20,000 that you took from me, that was the money to start my business. I don't have any. I don't have an extra $10,000 lying around.
Right, because the wealthier people are the ones who have money in their bank accounts,
right?
And so this disproportionately hurts people without with less money, correct?
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, that's definitely a problem. There have been other more well-off people who have successfully fought, but a lot of people just walk away.
Wow.
And it seems like
they can't afford to fight for it.
Right, and they seem to stop a lot of people of color. Also.
Overwhelmingly.
So look, so now what we have is you mentioned the fact that the police, they understand that if they don't do this, that their jobs will be in jeopardy. So now, you know, the municipalities are in this particular location and other places in the country now are caught in this position. So if they don't do this, they'll be out. But we certainly have enough money for wars and to drop bombs and drones on people, but we don't have enough money to pay police and to fix our roads and bridges in this country. That's the message.
Right. And can you, we're going to watch a clip from this report. Can you set this up or what's happening here?
Sure. This you're going to be hearing from Brian Stevenson, who is the founder.
Oh, no, sorry, Lindsay. Sorry. This is the YouTube. We're a little overwhelmed by all the potential footage we have. This is the YouTube clip where we see the policeman explains that he didn't, that he just assumes the guy it wasn't his legally.
Oh, sure. This is the 2-minute clip or the 8-minute clip?
It's the YouTube clip that I sent.
Yeah. So is it the one called Man Loses $22,000 in New Policing for Profit Case?
It is.
Or the other one? There, 272.
Yeah, that's the one. That's the one.
Yeah, that's the one.
Okay. So basically, this is one of the things that they did that made this such a powerful series of broadcast that News Channel 5 did, was they talked to a lot of victims. And in this clip, they hear from a victim who's an out-of-state guy from New Jersey, and he gets stopped carrying $22,000 in cash, and the cop is quizzing him, and he says, sure, you can search my car, because there's nothing illegal about carrying money. It's his money. But they end up seizing his money.
Yeah.
And they're browbeating him, trying to make him feel terrible, just somehow it's a crime to be carrying money in your car in Tennessee, which it completely isn't.
So, that's another example. That's a kind of interesting example of the way it's done and the way that was the journalist. What's his name?
Phil Williams?
Phil Williams, thank you. Phil Williams talking to the policeman, asking him about how he could kind of do that when he doesn't know. He didn't include in his report.
Yeah, he didn't include that why this money was legitimate, and he had no excuse. I mean, it's kind of clear from the clip that the policeman just wanted to take the money, and he could.
Right.
And he didn't fill out the paperwork to even explain why ostensibly he was taking it, or didn't fill the paperwork out properly.
Right. And then we have one more clip here that we want to play. That's we're going to see Phil Williams again asking a woman. Do you know what the woman does? The woman he's interviewing, she clearly works for some local authority, but she's like.
I believe she's a local district attorney.
Okay, and we're going to hear him asking her how she can do this and how the police can do it, and her her response, if it weren't true, would be funny. But that's at 105.
Because it's very honest.
Right. Right. You can't accuse her of not telling the truth.
Stop that flow throughout the country. They're focused on getting the money.
Money laundering is what it's called, and it's a federal offense. The good thing for you is, when we seize money, we don't deal with the feds. We seize it ourselves. And if it ain't your money, and you say, Agent Owens, it ain't my money, I don't know how it got there.
He's essentially offering him his defense, isn't he?
I don't think he is, because I think he recognizes at this point that the transport of money just through the state is not a crime under our money laundering statute.
Does it not make sense that I'm trying to help you? Because he honestly can't think for a second that we ain't going to stay here until we find it.
He sure is making this guy think he has committed a crime.
Well, and again, as I've indicated to you, law enforcement agents use various means of questioning to get as much information as they can.
But if I have not committed a crime, is it proper for a police officer to make me think that I have?
I believe that officers can use a variety of techniques.
So that was an interesting exchange, Lindsay.
You know, always something to think about when a police officer is talking to you, that they often will do that. It is pretty standard.
Right.
Not just about civil forfeiture, but about all kinds of things.
Right. Civil forfeiture is the least of it, right? I mean, that, not to diminish that, but we are living in an age where we see police killing people, right? Or arresting
killing
them.
Killing people.
For...
I mean, just in terms of interrogating people, right. Making people... The police don't have to tell you the truth when they're interrogating you.
Right.
They can say, oh, we have overwhelming evidence you did whatever it is, and they can just make it up.
Right.
They can just go fishing and hope that you'll say, oh my God, you know all about that thing.
Right.
So, like, it's something that every citizen should know, is that you don't talk to the police without a lawyer if you don't have to, and know that the police don't have to tell you the truth when they're questioning you.
Right.
That's one reason you want to have a lawyer.
Right, and you don't ever have to talk to them without a lawyer, right? You should always use Miranda, or...
In general, I think, I'm not a lawyer myself, but my understanding is, if you're under arrest, that if you're not free to leave, or if there's the perception that you're not free to leave, then you necessarily have a lawyer. And if you are free to leave, obviously you can just leave. So that's, you can vote with your feet, as it were. But if they're trying to keep you, then in general you have a right to an attorney for a criminal matter.
Right. And so, Lindsay, tell us where we can find you, where we can find the Hillman Awards, and what else you want people to know, because we're out of time, but tell us what you want people to know about what you guys are doing.
We have a website, HillmanFoundation.org, and if you go there, you can find links to Clear It With Sydney, which is our blog, also links to our monthly Sydney Award program, and that's a $500 monthly award. We give it out each month, so at the end of this month, the applications will close for the June Sydney. And basically, you can, if you're a writer, if you're an editor, if you're a broadcaster in any medium, anywhere in English, if you're publishing on the web for, you know, an English language audience, you can apply, and there's a link. I think I left with Katie the actual hyperlinks. Maybe you can put it up on the website so people can go right there. But you just fill out a quick form. You can nominate yourself. You can nominate somebody else. And we recognize excellence in socially conscious journalism. So that could be on any subject from labor organizing to health to women's rights to racial justice and police brutality. We get entries sort of across the gamut in terms of subject matter, and we really like that.
Great.
And the prize is $500 and a bottle of union-made wine.
Oh, that must taste extra good. Well, thank you so much.
You can really taste the social justice.
Exactly. Thank you so much, Lindsay, and we'd love to have you back. Lindsay Bearstein.
Thanks for having me.
Bye.